Today, one of the great botanists, Dr. David Mabberley, until recently director of the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney. His concern is citrus, and it goes much further than OJ. Just listen.
Orange blossom and eau de cologne, curacao and cointreau, Earl Grey tea and marmalade, orangeries and pomanders, Nell Gwyn and suntan oil, citrus is certainly more than orange juice. But orange juice is the most familiar citrus product, and citrus growing is the most important fruit industry in warm countries, contributing significantly to the economies of Australia, the United States, Brazil, South Africa, Israel, and Southern Europe. The important parts of the citrus plant in commerce today are the flowers, for scent making, and the fruits. The fruit is a tough sphere containing segments, the carpels, each full of vesicles, which are hairs pumped up with juice. The fruit wall contains the zest of the kitchen, full of insecticidal materials, many of them of significant medicinal value, and the vesicles provide the juice of commerce. No citrus was known to Europeans until Alexander the Great reached Persia and India and saw Citrus medica, the citron. In writing up the botanical findings of that expedition, the Greek doctor botanist Theophrastus explained that the citron was not eaten, but placed amongst clothes to deter moths. He also discussed its use as a mouthwash. But the most famous medicinal use in the West was to be the alleviation of scurvy, the fatal disease caused by lack of vitamin C. Scurvy used to kill more sailors than their human enemies did. The East India Company, sending its first ships to Asia in 1601, found that the ship containing lemon juice was the only one free of scurvy. From 1795, sailors were issued with daily drafts of lemon juice, usually added to their rum ration, the improved health of the British Navy giving Nelson a strategic advantage over Napoleon's fleet at the Battle of Trafalgar. Vitamin C is still one of the most popular dietary supplements on the market, often starting at 250 milligrams per day, when 75 for women and 90 for men is the recommended amount. Its use in treatment of colds has been vastly overrated, largely because of the prominence of Linus Pauling's 1970 book, Vitamin C and the Common Cold. Perhaps a more pressing matter in today's Western world is rising obesity. In the 1970s, there was a revival of the 1930s fad for the grapefruit diet, or Hollywood diet. Recent re-examination of the action of grapefruit has shown that an unidentified compound interacts in the liver to lower cholesterol and help regulate insulin, while a three-month study has shown that adults who ate half a grapefruit with each regular meal lost significant amounts of weight and also had reduced levels of both insulin and glucose. Another less publicized use of citrus juice has been known since the 1890s, when it was reported that women in tropical America used a douche solution of lemon juice as a contraceptive. It has long been known that an aqueous solution of the juice is an effective spermicide, Casanova, no less, reporting it in the 18th century. Recent experimental work has shown sperm motility reduced to zero in a few minutes. But it is orange juice that is today's most important commodity and is a huge industry. So typical of the Western breakfast, even though many dietitians say that the sugar-rich morning orange juice is a recipe for fat deposition, the popular perception is that it is wholesome. Indeed, citrus fruits in general are seen as clean and natural, as witnessed by the number of cleaning products that are lemon-scented. The popularity of orange juice dramatically increased with the development of the commercial juice industry in America in the late 1920s. In 1944, a way was found to concentrate fruit juice in a vacuum and freeze it without compromising the flavour or vitamin content. Frozen juice was on the market the very next year. Now, commercial aseptic packaging allows juices to be sold without refrigerated storage, and the global trade is worth more than $2.3 billion. Although some of the orange crop in Australia is used for juice, most is grown for the fresh fruit trade, with over 28,000 hectares maintained by about 1,900 growers. Citrus is the largest fresh fruit export business in Australia, worth more than $200 million a year. But less appreciated is the fact that Australia has more wild species of citrus than does any other country. Six, including the bush tucker finger limes, all found nowhere else. The genus Citrus has perhaps some 25 wild species growing naturally from South Australia northwards as far as China and extending east to New Caledonia and west to northeastern India. However, none of those making up the bulk of the global industry is based on a truly wild plant. Most are hybrids. Of those in commerce, only two approximate to wild species. The kumquats, being different forms of Citrus japonica, native to China, and the citron, so important in Jewish festivals, but also the basis of the candied peel business, and apparently native in northeastern India. We now know that oranges, both bitter and sweet, are hybrids derived from crosses between two wild species, the sweet, thin-skinned mandarin of China and the sour, thick-skinned pomelo, perhaps native in the Vietnam area. It would seem that thousands of years ago, the Chinese brought the two species together and bees did the rest. The odd thing is that the hybrids breed true from seed because they produce seeds without the need for pollination. They are, in effect, reproducing asexually, such that major oranges like Valencia, for example, are clones, hybrid clones. Occasionally, a sexual crossing does occur and a new line can appear. The grapefruit was the result of a cross made between an orange and one of its parents, the pomelo, in the Caribbean in the 18th century. That is called a back cross, and from such crosses have come the tangerines, most of the commercial mandarins, which are not the pure wild mandarin of China, tangelos, tangors, autoniques, and uglies, besides the oranges and grapefruit of the supermarket. And it goes further. It seems that lemons are crosses between this pomelo-mandarin hybrid complex and the citron. The culinary limes with many seeds appear to be crosses between the citron and yet another species, familiar to those interested in Thai cooking, the lime leaves, sometimes known as kaffir lime, a plant native in the Malay archipelago, so yet again originally isolated from the other species. But the seedless or Tahiti lime of your gin and tonic has probably got the lemon in its ancestry too, in which case it has four different species in its makeup: pomelo, mandarin, citron, and lime leaves. The importance of all this is that because of the clonal nature of most of these crops, much of the industry is reliant on a very narrow genetic base. It is very important to work out where the parental species are in wild populations and to maintain the genetic variation there. Because, as we all know, a narrow genetic base lays open crops and the industry and economy based on them to serious danger. One just has to think of the Irish potato famine as the classic example. But the threat to the citrus industry today is not just this. Recently, an American website declared, "Citrus greening disease, also known as Huanglongbing, is one of the most severe plant diseases in the world. It can affect any variety of citrus trees. Once a tree is infected with the disease, there is no known cure. Although the disease is not harmful to humans, fruits from infected trees are not suitable for consumption because of their green color, misshapen appearance, and bitter taste. The disease has devastated millions of citrus trees in the United States." It seems that no citrus, hybrid or wild, not even our own finger lime, is resistant to this bacterial disease. The bacteria are spread by tiny insects, psyllids, which feed on the phloem, the food pipe system lying just beneath the surface of trees and other plants. They are also spread by air layering and grafting, using infected scions, major sources of infection in Asia. The most widespread vector, the Asian citrus psyllid, is now a worldwide pest. The bacteria multiply in its body so that in feeding, the psyllid injects bacteria. They multiply and fill the phloem such the materials cannot pass from the leaves to the rest of the plant. Because trees have a system of diverting materials around diseased or damaged areas, they can look reasonably fine until the last few working pipes cease functioning. This latent phase can last several years, during which time the tree can, of course, act as a source of bacteria to be spread to yet other trees. Different forms of the bacterium are found naturally in different parts of the world: Asiaticus in Asia and the cause of the worldwide catastrophe, Africanus in Africa, spread by the indigenous African citrus psyllid, and Americanus, discovered in Brazil in 2004. Other forms are found in Cape chestnut of the Rutaceae family and in the unrelated potato. The fact that there is no resistance at all in any species of citrus suggests the disease has jumped from another kind of plant. According to the hypothesis of scientists at the University of Western Sydney, it may have originated in Africa in association with the African citrus psyllid and local trees in the family Rutaceae. But the dispersal of the Asian citrus psyllid and spread of Asiaticus bacteria mean that the severe form of the disease is now in the Americas, as well as much of Asia east to New Guinea and west to the islands of the Indian Ocean. This severe form has prevented the establishment of a modern viable citrus industry in Asia. Between 1960 and 1970, 3 million trees were destroyed in Indonesia alone, and by 1983, commercial groves in most parts of Java and Sumatra were abandoned. By 1980, up to 95% of the trees in the northern and eastern provinces of Thailand were affected. It was first recorded in Papua New Guinea in 2002. By 2004, it was found in Brazil and is now rampant in South and Central America. The Asian citrus psyllid was first found in the United States in 1998. In 2005, a pomelo near Miami was found to be infected with Asiaticus. The psyllid and disease soon reached the other southern states. Today it is found throughout the citrus-growing parts of Florida, where the disease is now the most serious threat to its $9 billion industry. We in Australia, a country with more wild species of citrus than any other, as well as a major commercial industry based on oranges and other exotic citrus, should be alarmed. What can be done about it? Pesticides? In Asia, their use can lead to trees surviving for up to 15 years in well-managed orchards. But even with 35 to 52 sprays every year, pesticides have failed to prevent spread of the disease. Worse, intensive insecticide application schedules lead to the selection of insecticide-resistant psyllids. There is some hope, though, in that studies, largely by the University of Western Sydney, indicate that white oils used to control other pests and diseases may be as effective as conventional insecticides, without the risk of evolution of resistance. Some biological control of the Asian citrus psyllid is also possible, but introduced parasitoids have been unable to prevent the spread of the disease. In desperation, all kinds of other ideas have been put forward, including applications of various nutrients, because the disease significantly reduces levels of calcium, magnesium, and boron, while raising phosphorus levels, ratios allegedly remedied by the nutrient sprays. Tetracyclines and other antibiotics against the bacteria have also been used, but due to cost, phytotoxicity, and residues potentially harmful to humans, their use is not really practical. Thermotherapy, based on water-saturated hot air treatments, has even been tried to eliminate the bacteria from budwood to produce disease-free stock. Today, though, nowhere in the world is there an effective management regime. A further problem stems from the fact that the Asian citrus psyllid attacks many other rutaceae. Particularly worryingly, Murraya paniculata, the ubiquitous ornamental of very many of Australia's towns and cities, the so-called orange jasmine, turns out to be a favoured host for the insect and also a transient one for the bacterium. In the United States, the situation is dire, but only recently has the industry come out and admitted it has a major problem. Florida produces 63% of citrus fruits grown in the country, and the industry supports some 76,000 jobs, but yields are falling year on year. Since 2005, about 200,000 acres have been lost, most significantly to diseases, principally Asiaticus. The local economy is very severely affected as growers attempt to switch to other crops or just abandon the dying citrus to act as reservoirs for healthy trees nearby. The United States 2014 Farm Bill has allotted the first $25 million of $125 million for research over the next 5 years. But meanwhile, more and more citrus, fresh and juice, has to be imported from other countries, especially Brazil. But the simple fact is that orange juice, and indeed the whole citrus industry worldwide, is imperiled. For us in Australia, the disease is closing in. This is why, as tiresome as it so often seems, quarantine to prevent entry of the bacteria and their vectors is crucial to the continued well-being of our crops and growers, as well as our native citrus biodiversity. But in the long run, in the absence of effective and acceptable spray regimes or other treatments, a more fundamental solution has to be found. One where deterrence to the insect or disease resistance can be bred into the crop. But this could take years. Though, as the CEO of Monsanto recently told me in St. Louis, if genetic modification is the only answer for such a clean and green product as citrus, and it succeeds, thereby making genetically modified organisms acceptable to the market so far resistant to their introduction, it will be a cakewalk for the GM industry with absolutely anything else at all. The canary in the mine.
GM oranges, well, there's a thought. Dr. David Mabberley, former director of the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney. Next week we go to China to see whether they are already outstripping Australia in scientific research. I'm Robin Williams.